Welcome, and thanks for joining us for the weekly podcast of Center Church San Diego. We are so happy to connect with you online today. You matter to God. You really do. Whatever your past, no matter what your circumstance right now, God loves you. And you belong right here. Hope starts now as we invite Christ to take his rightful place at the center of our lives. So let's jump in.
How's it going, everybody? Okay, that's not good. Okay, it's holiday weekend. We need to raise the bar a few notches, okay? How we doing? All right, looking good. Just by a quick show of hands, how many of you are living your best life right now? Come on. Okay. Some of you just got talked into raising your hand. You're like, that's a good indication. Maybe you're not. But I'm seeing a bunch of you guys with coffee cups. That's a good start. Nothing wrong with a good cup of Joe first thing on a Sunday morning, living your best life. Some of you parents are living your best life right now because your kids are in Center Kids, having the time of their life. Yeah, that's good. And you get to sit with other adults. Some of you are like, man, this is like vacation. I'm living my best life right now. That's good stuff. There's this hashtag that you see a lot. It's just like hashtag best life or hashtag living my best life. I looked around just like really, really quickly on Friday in Instagram, and there were 125,000 posts just on Friday just using that one tag, living my best life. That doesn't even include variations on the theme like best life or I'm the best or, you know, whatever it might be. 125,000 of us posting just in one day a glimpse into like our best life. It's kind of a big dream. It's a dream. I want to live my best life. And at the very least, even if I can't be living my best life, I at least want you to think I am. Isn't that true? It's like, that's why like we sometimes kind of want to put it out there, even if we're not living our best life. And let's be honest, a lot of us are struggling in that category most of the time, right? We want to fake it until we make it. I actually came across a company this past week. This is just blows my mind. That helps you fake living your best life so that you can post about it on social media. So people, like, do you ever have, like, vacation FOMO? Like, you see other people, like, they're in Bali or they're in somewhere, like, really cool. And you're, like, you know, on your lunch break in El Centro. And you're like, what in the heck? You know, I wish I could be living my best life like them or whatever. Well, this company actually comes and helps you fake a vacation photo. Okay, so, like, if you can't afford to, like, be in Hawaii living it up, what you do, this is an actual website. I went to this place this week. I'm not going to tell you where it is because I don't even want to endorse. Don't give these people any money, okay? But basically what you do, you send them your family photos and $40. And they'll send you back Photoshop images of you and your family in Hawaii so that you can post about it. Just crushing it in Hawaii, you're in El Centro. You post that from El Centro, okay? They've got all different kinds of stuff. If you want to be in the Grand Canyon, no problem. $40, done. You want to be in Las Vegas, no sweat. That's only $20. I guess because most people forget what they even did in Las Vegas. So it's like $20. Get this one. You want to be in Niagara Falls? That one costs you $50 for some unknown reason. But you can go to these places. You fake your best life. Can you believe that? And some of you guys are like, I would never do something like that. Now, you spend 30 minutes filtering and face-tuning your selfie. I would never fake my best life. No way. You're trying to convince everybody that you're basically hashtag crushing it wherever it is that you go. And so this site kind of inspired me this week, to be really honest. And so I thought to myself, I'll show you the vacations in my life that have been going on. So here we go. Here's us, the Jones Tribe, in Antarctica this past week. We're having a great time. I don't know if you knew this, but Disney actually purchased Antarctica as the new Disney continent, okay, and they're taking that whole thing over. You may have missed this, but Jen and I were really honored to be a part of the moon landing. That was like a really big deal. Very honored to be there, but they only, you know, only the strong and the most elite are invited to the moon. Here's me and Tupac at the rodeo. We just had a great time. You may not know this, but he loves hot dogs and popcorn. Some of you guys thought, like, I thought Tupac was dead. No, he's not. He just moved to the Bakersfield Rodeo. It's like you're dead, only different. Okay, so it's ridiculous, right? But it feels like it's kind of our ridiculous pursuit most of the time. This is the carrot chase. And this is what this whole series has really been about from the very beginning. It's this endless pursuit of more and more and more. And today we're going to be tackling this new carrot. It's the chase for comfort and something easy. And we're not just in any chasing any sort of comfort. It's what I call a counterfeit comfort. It's a comfort that promises to deliver. It promises to help give us our hashtag best life, but in fact, it doesn't actually deliver. It falls far short. It doesn't fulfill us. And in 1 John chapter 2, if you've got your app, you could fire that thing up. This verse is on the screen as well. The Apostle John writes this in a letter. He says, "Don't set the affections of your heart on this world or in loving the things of the world. The love of the Father and the love of the world are incompatible. The love of the Father, the love of God, and the love of all the things of this world actually don't go together. They're incompatible." Now, this is being written by the Apostle John, who Jesus called his beloved disciple, the beloved disciple. He was the closest to Jesus. And this apostle uses this term, the world, 17 times in this letter that he writes to Christian people like you and me. And basically when he's saying the world, the love of the world, he's not talking about love of people who are in the world. He's actually talking about a cultural system. He's talking about a way of seeing things. He's talking about a spiritual outlook of worldliness that basically says, I want to pursue a life of ease and comfort, free from all obstacles and challenges. Basically, I want to do whatever I want, whenever I want, with whoever I want. And a love of the world is basically when I say to God, God, I basically want to live a life where you aren't necessary. I want to live a life where it's so easy and so comfortable, I don't really need you at all. And so stay out of it. I'm living my best life. And so we set the affections of our heart. We love the things of this world. And John is saying, you can't love the things of this world and love God at the same time. They're incompatible. And what he says is that basically when we start chasing those things, what we're really running after is a counterfeit comfort. And I think if we're being honest, most of us have the agenda that we would like life to be easy. Anybody like me that kind of enjoys being comfortable? Yeah, everybody's like, I'm not raising my hand again. You just said the whole thing about my best life thing. I'm not getting that sucker punch again. We like it easy. Now, as we talk about this topic, I do kind of want to maintain some balance in our thinking. I'm not saying that all comfort is bad. I'm not saying that you're a sinner if you enjoy a good vacation. I'm not saying that you're more spiritual if you sleep on the floor. If God's given you a good bed and it's comfortable, sleep in it. All right, good for you. That's all great. No, not a problem there. But there's this chase of a counterfeit comfort that we can slide into sometimes. And it's the pursuit away from the things of God and they're toward the things of this world. And John is saying that the two are actually incompatible with one another. At the end of the day, a counterfeit comfort actually betrays you. It doesn't deliver on fulfillment. And what is a counterfeit? A counterfeit is designed to be a close copy. It's kind of like it. It's like a facsimile. It's a substitute for something of value that actually has no value because it's a knockoff, right? That's what a counterfeit is. Does anybody ever get freaked out when you go someplace and you pay with something with cash and the cashier takes your bill, your 20 or your 50 or maybe 100, and they start looking at it weird? Does that freak anybody out besides me? They're like drawing on it with special pens. They put it through machines and they're like, and they're looking at you and they're like looking at the thing again. Well, why does it freak me out? Here's why. Because I'm kind of going, man, I hope that was not a counterfeit. You know why? Not only will I not get to buy what I'm hoping to buy, I just got stiff for $100. I just got stiff for $20 or whatever, because it might be a counterfeit. It kind of freaks me out. But some of you are going, hey, that's why those of us that don't, you know, that actually have a full head of hair use Venmo. And then I understand that. But this thing called cash, it's in our economy, it's a real thing, and it can freak us out. That's what getting stuck with counterfeit comfort is like. It's like a substitute, but it's a knockoff that doesn't actually have any value. And so what we hope it's going to pay the bill, it ends up not paying the bill because it's worthless. And a counterfeit comfort actually reveals some stuff about us. And if you're taking notes, I want you to jot this down. Letter A, it reveals my spiritual emptiness. My spiritual emptiness. The Voice translation of that same passage in 1 John says, don't fall in love with this corrupt world or worship the things it can offer. Those who love its corrupt ways don't have the Father's love living within them. He's not saying that if you'd rather sleep on a bed than sleep on the floor that you don't love God. That's not what he's saying. He's saying, watch what you worship. Be really careful with what you're chasing after so much. It becomes the apple of your eye. It becomes the thing that is your full pursuit. Because if you pursue anything other than Jesus, what he's saying is you're going to end up empty. Yet conversely, if Jesus is your pursuit, you allow him to take over and occupy your heart. What happens is fullness, not emptiness. That's what happens. When you start getting apprehended by the love of God in your life, when you start seeing people the way he sees them, when you start recognizing even the hurt in other people the way he sees it, when you start seeing the world and pursuing the things that he has for you, what ends up happening is not emptiness, it's actually fullness. That's what God delivers. Author John Piper wrote, God is most glorified in us when we are most satisfied in him. God gets the glory when what I'm pursuing, what I'm chasing, is actually him. Here's letter B. A counterfeit comfort eliminates my need for faith. And when we think about the cultural norm of this world, what we see is a system that's basically building life where God is not necessary, okay? And to be honest with you, it's a contradiction to the lives that I see pretty much everywhere I look. Folks are trying to build a life where God's not necessary, yet look around at the homes that you see. Maybe yours, maybe your neighbor's, maybe your friend across town. Is God necessary? Trying to front like he's not, but as far as I'm concerned, here as I can tell, it's kind of a necessary thing. And in fact, it flies in the face of all of the human experience that is written about in the Bible. See, the Bible doesn't, like, paint these pictures of these people that have it all together, not like chock full of all these people that are hashtag living their best life. You know, the folks that are in the Bible, they're people that are struggling. People that don't have it all together. People that have doubts. People who are afraid of stuff. People who have relational conflict. People like you and me. That's who's in the Bible. And so when I get honest about my life, maybe if you can get honest about your life, you can probably see areas where you're actually helpless unless God intervenes. It's not like I can actually live and build a life where God's not necessary. In fact, he's pretty necessary all over the place. But when I chase a counterfeit comfort in my life, and it takes lots of different forms, it actually tries to eliminate my need for my life of faith, and that's a huge problem. So you might try to comfort yourself with drugs or alcohol, or you chase sex outside of God's design for it, or you comfort yourself with food, or with a fancy vacation, or with meditations on some distant mountaintop. And all of that, the chasing of all of that, actually eliminates your need for faith. And what it really is just faith in something else other than God. That's what's interesting about a counterfeit comfort. Is it something we sort of front like, well, we don't need God. We don't need faith. I've eliminated my need for faith. the very folks, and some of us are in that boat, where we go like, I don't actually need that. All we've really done is put our faith in something else. We put our confidence in that drug or in that sip from that drink or for that food or for that chase in that career, or we've embodied it in that person. If I can just get that, I've put my faith in something else. And Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith, no one can please God. Because the one coming to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who come seeking. So the biggest question really is not anything other than, what are you seeking? What do you find yourself chasing? Here's letter C. It short circuits my fulfillment. It short circuits my fulfillment. That's what counterfeits really always do. They look like they're going to pay the bill until they don't. Okay? I remember when Photoshop kind of first came out, and everybody and their brother was scanning dollar bills and then just erasing the person in the middle and putting their own face on the dollar bill. So it kind of looked like a dollar bill, but then it was like your own personalized version of it. And so it's like, hey, I got news for you. When you take that down to 7-Eleven and try to buy a Slurpee, they're not going to take your money, right? Because it's not real. But the reason that a counterfeit comfort never delivers is because our desires, in fact, are never ever really satisfied by them. Look at Proverbs 27:20. It says, neither the grave nor destruction is ever satisfied. The desires of people are never totally fulfilled. There's this insatiable desire that can't be filled outside of a relationship with Jesus. And in fact, one of the quickest ways to get your fulfillment short-circuited is to pursue stuff that's other than him. And I'm looking at a room full of people, and many of you have tried exactly this, and you know what I'm saying is true. You've tried it. It doesn't work. But here's why this is so tricky. It's because there's this subtle allure of the carrot that says, yeah, I know that was before, but maybe it'll work this time. Maybe you just haven't found the right thing to chase. Oh, that didn't work? Okay, fine. Let's try this one. Mac and cheese didn't work? Let's try cupcakes. Everybody loves cupcakes. Okay? That relationship didn't work? Well, let's try just a different one. Let's chase that. That drug didn't work? Let's try a new one. Do you see what I'm saying? It's the constant allure that says, maybe it'll be different this time. And it never actually is. But I want to look at this next passage of Scripture. I love this passage. The counterfeit doesn't satisfy. The counterfeit leaves you thirsty and wanting more. But look at what God's promises are to you. This is what God says in his own words in Isaiah 44. It's on the screens. It says, the Lord who made you and helps you says this. Listen. It says, do not be afraid, O Jacob, my servant, O dear Israel, my chosen one. Don't be afraid. My people, that's what he said. He says, for I will pour out water to quench your thirst and to irrigate your parched fields. I will pour out my spirit on your descendants and my blessing on your children. They will thrive like watered grass, like willows on a riverbank. This is what the Lord says. Israel's King and Redeemer, the Lord of heaven's armies. He says, I am the first and the last. There's no other God. Who is like me? Let him step forward and prove to you his power. Let him do as I have done since ancient times when I established a people and explained its future. Do not tremble. Do not be afraid. Did I not proclaim my purposes for you long ago? You are my witnesses. Is there any other God? No. There is no other rock. Not one. What God's saying is, there's lots of counterfeits out there. I am the one true God. I'm the rock. In fact, he taunts all of the counterfeits and says, who's out there that's willing to step forward and say, oh, no, you've got it all wrong. I can actually deliver. God's actually saying, let him step forward and prove to you his power like I have. See, what we're constantly looking for is a counterfeit that will actually have power. Yet we can't find one because there's no other source of authentic comfort in life except the comfort of God. Let me
me say that again. There's no other authentic source of comfort in our life other than God. And so I want to talk with you just in these brief moments that remain about how we actually go about receiving God's comfort, the real deal comfort. Very briefly, let me leave you with four encouragements. Here's the first one. Number one, God sees and understands my need. If you want to receive the comfort of God here today, I want you to know and be encouraged that God sees and He understands your need. And you need the comfort of God as you're sitting here today. I already know that. And I just want to encourage you. God sees you. He understands your need. Psalm 33:18 says, "The eyes of the Lord are upon even the weakest worshipers who love Him." Would you underline that little line? That's actually great news for you. He says, "Those who wait in hope and expectation for the strong and steady love of God." God sees you. He sees you. And that is more than I can say for your other comfort counterfeits. The other places where you go for comfort, they don't see you at all. In fact, they don't understand a thing about you. That bottle of booze that you go to bury your soul, it does not understand you. It's a counterfeit. You can eat mac and cheese all day long. You know what? It doesn't see you. You can even go to another person and hope in that person, a person with eyes that you would think can see, and they even can't fully see you. Only God can do that. And He understands. And I think this is a powerful truth for somebody that's in the room that's really, really struggling, that needs comfort in their life, and maybe you've been going to a bunch of other counterfeits looking for it. And I want to tell you, actually sees you and understands exactly where you are. You can receive His comfort today because He's the one handing it out, and He knows exactly what your need is. He knows exactly what your circumstance is, and He knows it all. Number two, God never wastes a hurt. Maybe you're really going through it right now. Maybe you're like me. Maybe you've even fired up a bunch of why questions to God. I like to do that when I'm really going through it. I rack up a big, long list of questions that I want to fire up to God and put Him on the spot. I kind of put God on trial. You need to defend yourself here. Why is all this happening? Why am I going through this? Or if you don't go to God, maybe you go to the universe. Or you stick your head out the door and yell at the nearest cloud. Or you, whatever it might be. And honestly, we're searching for answers. And the plaintive cry of our heart is, why is this happening to me? And if that's you, I get it. But what I can tell you is that in God's economy, God never wastes a hurt. Does hurt happen? Yes. But He doesn't waste it. James 1, verse 2 says, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, when you face trials of many kinds." Not if, when. He says, "Because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance." He says, "Let perseverance finish its work." Don't get off the train early. Let it finish so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. The fact is that God's not committed to your counterfeit comfort. What He's committed to is an authentic character building. That's what He wants to do. He's leading you on a path to be mature and complete, lacking no good thing. God never wastes a hurt. He always draws out goodness, even out of horrible situations. And that's not me standing up here giving you a "don't worry, be happy" speech. This is just acknowledging the reality that sometimes life is horrendously difficult. Sometimes it's uncomfortable. Sometimes it's enormously scary and devastating and painful, and it shows up and rings our doorbell. Doesn't give us advance notice. It just shows up. Showed up yesterday for my dear friend and many of yours, Evan Hughes, who was formerly on pastoral staff here at Center Church, is one of the
just, I mean, if you know Evan, you just say he's just one of the greatest guys in the world. Had to go back in and undergo emergency brain surgery yesterday to relieve what was going on in his body. And I am happy to report that procedure went well. But it showed up without any advance notice. And it's hard. And it's scary. And I don't understand. And I'll be really honest with you. When I got the call, I fired up a why question. I'll admit it. What's going on here, Lord? Why this one? They don't come much more friendly and kind and precious than Evan Hughes. They really don't. Why, Lord? And yet all along the way, I'm reminded that God sees me and He understands. He knows Evan. He knew yesterday, before the foundations of the world were ever even set in place. He knew all of that. He sees all of the inner workings of His mind, of the questions in mine. And He understands. And the good news is, He never wastes a hurt. Not even one. 2 Corinthians 1, verse 3 says, "What a wonderful God we have. He's the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's the source of every mercy." Circle that in your notes. That's the big news for you. He's the one who so wonderfully comforts and strengthens us in our hardships and trials. And why does He do this? So that when others are troubled, needing our sympathy and our encouragement, we can pass on to them the same help and comfort God has given us. Listen to me very carefully. Your purpose in life is to be a conduit of God's mercy and hope and grace to other people who are all around you. Your purpose is to heal and help and comfort people with the hope of Jesus. And you can only do that if you've actually experienced it for yourself. You can't give away what you don't have. But when you've received it, you are well positioned to be mature and complete, not lacking anything, so that you can actually give it away to other people. So who better to minister to the person who's an alcoholic than somebody who has been set free from that addiction in Jesus' name? That's a great person to have show up in the middle of your dark situation. That's what we call Jesus with skin on. Jesus walking around in blue jeans. That's you and me. In us and working through us. And He uses the difficulties and challenges in our life to let that work through us to other people. Who better to sympathize with somebody who is experiencing the pain of a divorce than someone who has been divorced and has experienced the comfort of God there in that spot? My friend Evan and I spoke last week on the phone after he was recuperating from his first brain surgery. And I thought to myself, as we had this conversation, who better to walk through the door when you're facing the fear of your brain surgery than a guy who has walked the same path too and then met God there? You get a credential, you get a badge when you go through these situations and these difficulties, and your credential looks different than mine because my path's different than yours. You may never have had brain surgery. Evan has. Guess what? There's something powerful that happens when a guy who's been through that and experienced the hope and the presence of Jesus there in that spot is able to walk into the door to the person next to him or years from now who goes through the exact same thing and say, "Hey, I totally get it. I've walked the same journey, and this is what God has done in me." Your purpose in life is not to make enough money so that you can retire well and play golf on the course of your choice. Your purpose in life is not to have built a reputation for yourself where everybody stands around and golf claps you, and, "Man, aren't you great? Look what you did." Your purpose in life is to allow the grace and the goodness and the encouragement of Jesus to flow through your life
the lives of other people. And it's a powerful, powerful gift. I don't know why hard stuff happens sometimes. But what I am pretty confident of is that the enemy of your soul, the devil himself, desires for the difficult things that come your way to break you into a million pieces. And I'm also confident that the God in heaven who sees you and loves you desires to take those things and turn them not into the broken pieces of your past, but into the badge of hope and healing that he wants to work through you. What would happen if we started looking at our circumstances not as the broken, fractured bits that need to go into the trash, but as the very ingredients of the badge that God is forming into credentials to extend his hope to other people? He never wastes a hurt. He never does it. And the truth is that nothing happens through you until it's happened in you. We have to experience some things. But once you've got it, now you can give it away. Here's number three. God wants to comfort me now. It's true. Somebody in here right now, I think, is hurting right now. And I wanna say something specifically to you. If you're in a spot where you're really hurting, you've come to the right place. And I don't mean to the right church. I don't mean to the right building. I don't mean to the nice air-conditioned auditorium that we get to enjoy, although isn't that great? You've come to the right person because the presence of Jesus Christ is here today. And he wants to comfort you right now in this instant. I really believe that. Look at what 2 Corinthians 1 says. You can be sure, underline that line, you can be sure that the more we undergo sufferings for Christ, the more he will shower us with his comfort and encouragement. You can be sure. The more we undergo the sufferings of Christ, he's going to shower us with his comfort and encouragement. I really struggle when life gets hard. I hurt when my kids hurt. Do you? Like when I watch a close friend go through something painful, like it's hard. I don't like it. And what I'm dealing with is nothing compared to what my friend's dealing with. I don't like it. When my relationships are broken, I am broken, okay? And some of us have this view of God as though, like, even if I buy into the fact that he made the world, or even if I can sign off on what God made me, we have this picture of God that he somehow is like a clockmaker in heaven. He, like, wound it all up, set it in motion. Now he just stands back and watches it all unravel. And in fact, if God has ears, he has his fingers in them most of the time. It's just like, there's stuff going on, it's watermelon, watermelon, watermelon. And some of us feel that way about God, and I have to tell you that that is not the picture of the God in the Bible. Yes, sometimes we can't see all the things that he's doing. Yes, sometimes we wish he would do one thing, and then he does another. Or sometimes we sit in silence when we wish that he would speak louder to us. But the God of the Scripture is a God of all comfort. That's what the Bible says. 2 Corinthians says he's the source of every mercy. Romans 15 says he's the God of hope who fills us with joy and peace when we trust in him. Psalm 46 says that he is our refuge and hope. He is a very present help in time of trouble. God wants to comfort you right now by the power of his Holy Spirit. You've come to the right person. And number four, and finally, God has promised, my best life is yet to come. Honestly, God wants you living your hashtag best life. It's just that your best life is not here right now on this earth. Your best life is the one that he made possible with him in heaven. This is not heaven. You may have gathered that. This is not heaven. And so what happens is God comforts us in our struggles here, but he has made a way for an eternity with him there. Romans 8:18 says, I am convinced that any suffering we endure is less than nothing compared to the magnitude of glory that is about to be unveiled within us. The entire universe is standing on tiptoe, yearning to see the unveiling of God's glorious sons and daughters, that's you and me. For against its will, the universe itself has had to endure the empty futility resulting from the consequences of human sin. Lots of struggle that's going on all over the world. It's this wrestling, the futility of wrestling with the consequences of human sin all over the world and all throughout history. It says, but now, with eager expectation, all creation longs for freedom from its slavery to decay and to experience with us the wonderful freedom coming to God's children. There's a wonderful freedom coming. There's more to this life than just this life. In fact, this life is just preparation for the next. And you've heard it said, you can't take it with you. You ever heard that statement? Oh, you can't take it with you. There's a lot of truth in that statement. You're not going to take your car or your condo out of this life. You're not going to take your cash. You won't take your clothes. Nobody takes their career with them when they die. Who's glad of that? You don't take your hobbies with you when you die. The Bible says you will not take your sickness or your pain or even your tears with you. When you die, that means your diagnosis and your abusive past, maybe your abusive present, it's not coming with you. You will take one thing with you into eternity. It is your character. You take your character with you. It's the character that's been built all the way along the line in your struggles and in your challenges. The counterfeit comfort promises to relieve all the earthly struggles, all the earthly challenges and difficulties. I'll take care of all that stuff. There's a tune on country radio right now. I heard the other day, there ain't nothing that a beer can't fix. The counterfeit comfort that says, I'll take care of all that stuff, and we actually know it's not true. But God's comfort promises to meet us in our need. And that every struggle along the way, He turns and purposes to build a strength of character and hope in us. And that always delivers. You can't take it with you, except the character that is built in you in the struggle along the way. Write down this final truth and then we'll be done. Trying to fulfill an eternal longing with a temporary comfort will lead to an empty life. Trying to fulfill an eternal longing with a temporary comfort will lead to an empty life. But the lean into God's comfort, that's not temporary, folks. There's no emptiness in Him. There's only fullness in Him. And if you'll put your trust in Him, you put your hope in Him, He's got a promise for you that it cannot be rescinded or canceled. 1 Corinthians 2:9 says, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has even imagined the things that God has prepared for those who love Him. Look at me. We're done. But the Lord, I really believe this, the Lord wants to comfort you right now. Not with a temporary fix, but with an enduring, lasting, abundant life. He wants to bless you with the assurance of the best life that you have that is coming. So would you bow your heads and pray with me? And as we're talking about this whole area of the comfort of God, nobody's looking around here just for a second, but if there's an area in your life that when we start talking about comfort and like needing a solution, needing something to get remedied, this one thing is just at the front of your mind right now. You can't get away from it. It's like, God, I need the comfort of God in this area in my life right now, whatever that is. I want to pray for you in just a second. where this process begins is with us saying, Jesus, I need you. I believe that he wants to fill you with his love. I believe he wants to put an encouragement and a freshness into you. I'm thankful that you don't even have to have it all together. You don't have to be the strongest singer. You don't have to be the best prayer. You don't have to have your life all together, because Psalm 33 says that the eyes of the Lord are upon even the weakest worshiper of him. And so if you're like there and you're like, I'm feeling pretty weak, what is that thing that you need the Lord to touch in your life? Jesus, we bring our need to you today. We bring the questions of our life. We bring the chaos, the confusion, the hurt, the brokenness of our past, the woundedness in our present right now. We have this need that we set before you today. And I pray that the comfort of God, the enduring, lasting, gracious kindness of God in this instant would be applied to my friends. That we would stand just made aware of your nearness to them. Thank you that you're a very present help in time of trouble. And so I pray that in this moment, as we offer over this area of our life to you, would you come and shine your light in our heart? Thank you that you see us and that you understand us. We even recognize, Lord, that you don't waste hurts, but you're ready to comfort us in the middle of them. And so give us a confident hope here right now, Lord, in this instant. I pray a moment of ministry and a touch on my friends. Bring encouragement and healing in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks again for joining us today. The question now is, what are you going to do with what you just discovered? Take a step to connect with us in person? Or perhaps choose to support the ministry of Center Church with your financial generosity? Take your next right step and visit us online at centerchurchsd.com. See you next time.